All right, we're about to get into it. Hey, how you guys doing? My name's Hero. This is Coding with Strangers, and I want to talk about something. One of my dreams is to actually become like a major influencer. Like, we all have dreams. Some of you guys want to be rappers. Some of you guys want to be celebrities. Some of you guys want to be, you know, kept individuals. Some of y'all want to be losers. Let's just call it what it is.
Beta.
Some of y'all definitely want to grow up and become losers. But me, I want to be an influencer. I want to be famous. So imagine my plight when every day I have to wake up with the painful realization that I have to go to work because I don't have 1,000 followers on TikTok. That's weak. That's weak. And these are painful realizations some people have to come through. But for a vast majority of people on the internet, they look at TikTok and see a wealth of knowledge. They see getting out from the American or Westernized media circle. They see a version of communication. They see a platform that allows for liberation. They see a platform that they have power over, and from this power, they can enact change and bring about a better way of life for the people on the platform. And I say for the people on the platform because TikTok, while perceived as a young person's app, and by no stretch of the imagination, it is a young person's app, it does have its teeth in every aspect of it. From artists making a living off of dropping a few songs to major companies reaching out to influencers on the app to test trial their prototype products. TikTok is well ingrained in our society and is the place where Gen Z. Gen Z gets most of their news from. Now, if you said to me that there was a generation that got their news from a social media platform and they were better for it, I'd be crying, because we saw what happened when our boomer ass parents got a hold of Facebook and they literally let it rot their brain. Has anyone been on Facebook lately and just seen some of the brain rot that's on there? My goodness. Like, so now they're using it, like the thing that's hot on Facebook, and this is crazy to me, is they'll post a picture of like a bunch of AI generated images and just get a bunch of, you'll just see a bunch of grandmas, gram-grams and pop-pops just on there like, this is a lovely picture. This is a lot of AI generated pets. It's crazy. And it just speaks to how their brain is rotting on the internet. But, you know, it also happens to young people too, because there's a lot of brain rot on the youthful side too. It's important that we remember that TikTok is a platform for everybody. So when a certain demographic of people want to take that away from everybody, we have to do a little bit of investigation. And while I've never been a major proponent of like what I support and who I support and how I support it, it's very clear to me that an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. You know, visualize your quotes, you feel me? So let's talk about how a bunch of old ass people who have a firm grip on the government is planning to force the grandkids and force the young people to start talking to the old people again, because we're going to take away your app if you don't be nice to us. The great conundrum of campaigning on TikTok. Joe Biden faces the camera, casually dressed for the U.S. president in khaki slacks, quarter zip. He jovially answers a series of questions about the Super Bowl, having that day the Chiefs or the Niners, Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce, and finally Trump or Biden. Are you kidding? Biden, the president says with a smile. The video marked the presidential re-election campaign debut on TikTok, the massively popular video app that captured the attention of 170 million Americans as of April. The video has more than 10.5 million views. Get your views up. Get your views up, scrub. I think the last thing I posted had doesn't even have triple digit views yet. Tragic. Still, just weeks after that launch, Biden would pledge to sign a bill that could oust the app from the United States unless it finds a way to separate from its Chinese parent company in 6 months once it takes effect. As of Saturday, that bill looks one step closer to becoming law after it cleared the House a second time as part of a foreign aid package, making it more difficult for the Senate to ignore. The push comes from the U.S. policymakers' fear that ByteDance, which owns TikTok, could be compelled by its Chinese government to hand over data on U.S. users. TikTok has repeatedly said it does not store U.S. user information in China. What do we... You want to know what's funny? What's funny is like how much effort we put into to this and how much... how interesting this situation is. But literally in the last election, Facebook sold our information to a analytics company that then used that to manipulate people in their and try to manipulate people in their voting habits. What is ByteDance doing? Let's say hypothetically that ByteDance is actually doing all of this shit, right? What's the difference between what Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, all of these apps do? Like, taking people's data is as American as apple pie and baseball at this point. Stealing people's data is a literal thing. We literally signed an espionage act that we will continue to do. For all y'all that don't know, if you have any friends or if you've ever text anybody, if you've ever left the country and text anybody in that country, and the U.S. government deems that that person you're texting might be an adversary of the United States, they have the right to further spy on that person and by connection spy on you. So, like, this is a very real question. Like, I also did a video about surveillance and how media companies can readily identify you, about the woman who was pregnant, who was 6 weeks pregnant and was going to use it to surprise her dad and her mom. But because of the targeted ads that were sent to her mom and dad that kept telling them to buy baby clothes, they figured out that their daughter was pregnant before the daughter could tell them. Like, I can find people. I can find people via debt for pennies on the dime. If you're lucky enough to figure out where your debt is allocated to, you could buy it for pennies on the dime and literally wipe out your debt without having to pay the exorbitant prices of what the taxpayers say. Debt is a commodity, and knowledge and technology is all of that stuff is a commodity that people use in order to leverage selling whatever they want to sell. So TikTok doing this is no different. And the sad part about it is that we know for a fact that people within the ranks of the government use the information from TikTok. Look at the hypocrisy. Sleepy Joe Biden saying he's going to ban a bill that he got 10 million views on. Ban an app that got him 10 million eyes that he wouldn't have got otherwise. It's kind of the hypocrisy. And this is like revenge of the old people. Like, no one wants Joe Biden on fucking TikTok. Are you shitting me? Go fucking wipe my damn student loan debt. And this is the monotony of the situation, right? There's a real live energy about... Look, bro, you don't have to be on TikTok. Just wipe out my student loan so I can buy a house and we'll call it even, man. But like, it's the things that no one asks for that they're doing that's really grinding people's gear, especially mine. It's really becoming hard for me to believe that he's actually going to win this year just because of how badly they fumbled the situation. And now they're taking away a representative tool for the youth. So you're losing the youthful vote. Like, that's crazy. We dig deeper. While TikTok users might be surprised by the incongruent campaigning, professionals have mostly shrugged off the cognitive dissonance to them. What's most important is being where their voters are. Even so, TikTok's prohibition on political ads and relative newsness to the election scene means it's not yet indispensable for campaigns in the way that strongholds like Facebook are after providing to be reliable for fundraising over several cycles. But many strategists also still recognize opportunity if limited on the platform for as long as it exists in the current form. Bradley Tusk, a venture capitalist and political strategist who served as Mike Bloomberg's campaign manager, I guess you weren't very good, seeing as how he didn't even make it to the second debate stage. In 2009, mayoral race compared candidates' attitude towards TikTok ban to how they might treat proposals to amend campaign financing laws. Too bad you're a billionaire and no one cares. When you see proposals to change them, every member says, well, I'll live by whatever the rules are, but I'm not going to unilaterally disarm until that happens, says Tusk. So I think every campaign that is using TikTok is going to use it until the day the platform goes away or changes hands or whatever happens, if anything. But I think that's no one is going to primitively not use TikTok. And he makes a good point here. He makes a great point here. Let's just cut to the brass tack. This is a great article. You could read through it. It gives you a very thorough rundown of everything that happens. But let's just get to the brass tack of the situation. Are they going to take down TikTok if no one quote unquote buys it? They can say that, but you lose a part of this that makes it possible. So the House passing it is definitely concerning because it's tied with aid that the Senate has been asking for. So there's a strong likelihood that they will have to do this and it's going to be packaged together. So this will probably be banned. I don't think ByteDance will sell their company to anyone in the U.S. I don't think anybody would want to be responsible for that, because you're just putting yourself to legal standards where an American owner owns it now, but you still can't confirm or deny if information is being sold to China. But further from that, the cognitive dissonance is that the people who want to ban this app are currently shilling on the app. There's a part of me that says to myself, what's to stop China from just creating a corporate entity within America and have them buy people's data on Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, right? We have a bunch of foreign sanctions right now out against North Korea. But if you watch Amazon's hit series Invincible, great season, by the way, you have been supporting the dictators of North Korea, because we just got word that somehow, some way, through a shell company of a shell company of another shell company, animators were being forced or being paid to work on Invincible season 2. So this whole idea of trying to protect the kids is crazy. Saying that TikTok is a danger to our youth, and not just like a physical danger, saying that the things that are being seen there are sexual in nature, when Twitter is literally Pornhub 2.0, it's literally called X. They talk about how the transgender agenda is being put out there, like transgender people just started existing in 2024. Like, get over yourself. And then third, talking about how there is creating a divide in this country. You know where the divide probably started to? I'm not saying this is where the divide started. You could go back as far as, you know, slavery. But I'm pretty sure the point where a bunch of people stormed our democracy and tried to reverse the people's decision was probably the breaking point. And then finally, this overzealous nature of old people. Now, I want to make this clear, because I don't want to seem ageist. I love old people. I think you guys are great at doing things well within your capability. One of the things you probably shouldn't be doing is dictating the life-changing detrimental attributes of people's lives when you're not going to be there to witness the consequences. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg comes to mind. People champion her. Oh, women, this. Shut up. She was a bum, and she wasted her potential and destroyed her legacy because of her ego. Because she would rather died in power than relinquished it to the future, to the people. And because of that, women across the world, across the country, lost their right to choose. And that's a hard pill for people to swallow. But this is the consequences of the action. No matter how you pick it, red pill, blue pill, whichever side you're on, this is a collective cry for help and danger. But there might be hope, because where there's a group of people who want to see politics over people, we still have other means in the legislature or within the governmental properties that will give us an edge here, right? Because in November of last year, a U.S. judge blocked Montana from banning TikTok use in its state. So we've seen this on the state level. And usually whenever we're kind of concerned about laws being that progress as far as it pertains to technology, the first concern always comes at the level, at the state level. So when someone, when a bunch of legislators try to ban TikTok in Montana, there was a bunch of petitions that went out, and eventually a judge found that they couldn't do that because it went against the First Amendment right. The government cannot tell another government, another company, which is treated as an individual in this country, how to run their business as long as it falls within the lines of the law. And that is why Congress had to change the law to state that this, but this creates a bigger issue that is widespread and doesn't land in our favor, because we know of multiple people who do business across the border. This would change the language and the history for this. The better way of doing this, the better way of handling this, is requiring TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and all of these companies to be all held at the same standard with what they do with our data. But if that was the case, then the 24% of congressional people who receive money from the tech sector would lose out on their pensions, because they would have to basically write laws that actually hurt the people that pay them, instead of writing laws to benefit the people who elected them. And that is the problem that we're going to see consistently in our government when it comes to tech. If the tech company, tech giant companies are paying us, there's no reason for them to fear the people who elected them. Because guess what? As you could, I could be elected today and get fired tomorrow. But if, as long as I pass the bill that the person who paid me to pass, I'm going to retire happy. I'm going to retire richer, happier, and be able to ignore you guys. And for 9 times out of 10, you wouldn't be able to pick me out in a lineup of your U.S. representatives, which is actually pretty shocking. The amount of people that can't pick out their state representative in a lineup, shocking. Don't feel bad. I went 6 for 7. But I believe the Supreme Court and the judicial system would be the one defense to blocking this or reversing this, because it could be made a law, but how the law is interpreted is left up to the judicial branch. And seeing as how there's an opportunity for them to have this case be put on precedent, you could have this law in place, but then the precedent of it not being, it being illegal to force a company to change hands because foreign actors might believe that data is being misrepresented, is mad shocking. And once again, it falls into the line of America's history is baked into stealing information and manipulating data to get more information on people. It's as American as American pie. But you know, that's my take on it. I appreciate you guys. Clap it. Let me know what y'all think. Bang. Bang. Can y'all get me to 1,000 on TikTok? Will it ever happen? Could it happen before they cancel it? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. I'll see you guys later. We love it.